Okay, I want to start by telling you a story about a man called Frank Morrison. And he was a journalist. He lived in England about 100 years ago. He wasn't a Christian, and he didn't believe that the miracles that we read of in our Bible are true. But he decided he was going to write a book about the last days of Jesus. And he hoped that when he examined the facts of those last days, that it would demonstrate that the resurrection was just a myth. And the research he had to do for that led to him doing an in-depth study of the four Gospels and also the first 8 or so chapters of Acts. And as he looked in detail at the evidence presented in those books, he started to see things that began to transform his mind. The resurrection that he once thought was impossible now seemed to be actually the only logical conclusion. But what was he going to do about the book that he had planned to write to disprove the resurrection? Well, instead, he wrote a book where he summarized all the evidence for the resurrection. And in writing that book and in coming to those conclusions, this man became a Christian. The book, you can look it up in Amazon, it's called Who Moved the Stone, and it's famous as being an explanation of the resurrection and proving from the Bible and from other sources as well that the only option was that Jesus rose from the dead. And the book's really a story of how the man, Frank Morrison, how he became a Christian through studying the Bible and through believing in the resurrection. And that story, well, it's a real life thing, showed to me the importance of in-depth, thoughtful, careful and repeated study of the Bible. And how it has the power to transform your beliefs and then ultimately your life. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How investigating the Bible is so important and how you can do it. Maybe you think, well, I come to the studer, I maybe go to church, GB or BB, maybe go to other youth things as well. And well, I hear about the Bible there. People teach me about the Bible and they're really good. They know what they're talking about. Maybe they've been to Bible college. They maybe even have a degree in theology. It's just best that I sit there and I listen to them and I learn from them. Of course, it's good to hear the Bible taught and explained, and particularly if it's people who have experience in doing that. But you don't need professional training to understand the Bible. As long as you can read, and even if you're not a very good reader, you can get into the Bible and you can understand what it means for yourself. And this is explained in a verse in the Bible. It's a very long verse. It took me a long time to write it out, but it's a very important verse because it teaches us something in relation to that. So it's from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. And it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now, there's a lot of words there, but we're going to try and pick through it and see if we can get the key points out of it. So, the anointing that it talks about here, okay, this is referring to the Holy Spirit. And when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. This is what it's talking about here, what you have received. You receive the Holy Spirit, and it abides, or another word really for abides in this context, is lives. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And it says that this anointing that you have, so you see the word anointing here again. So we know then that relates to the anointing here. So we know it's the Holy Spirit. That anointing teaches you all things. So the Holy Spirit helps you personally as a Christian to understand the truths of the Bible. And it's because of that then that the verse teaches us that you don't need that any man teach you. Because the Holy Spirit can teach you from the Bible and explain the truths of the Bible to you. So it's not saying obviously that we shouldn't go and hear the Bible taught and explained. That's good. But it just means that we're not totally reliant on receiving our teaching from others. God wants us to study the Bible, to learn about him and his truths for ourselves. And he promises here that he will teach us through his Holy Spirit. So that's all well and good, but how do you do that in a practical way? Maybe you've heard people tell you, you need to read your Bible every day, you need to learn from your Bible, and that's what you do need to do, but how do you do that on a practical level? Maybe you find it quite hard when you read your Bible. And if so, you're certainly not alone. Maybe it's hard going. Maybe you read it and you don't get anything out of it. You think, well, what was the point in reading it? Well, that's what tonight is all about, giving you some practical advice on how you can read, understand and apply the Bible to your own life. And we're going to try and give you a structure and a method to investigate the Bible, and that can help you transform your Bible reading. Well, so what do you do? Well, there are many different ways that you can read the Bible and that you can study it. But when you consider all those ways, they really can be summarized into three steps. And these are observation, interpretation and application. And we're going to look at what each of these means. So we're going to start off with observation. So observation, you probably don't need me to tell you, just means what you can see. So observation, if I can spell it, is what you can see. And it means that when you look through the Bible, you're trying to read and find and hunt down all the facts in the Bible. So when I thought about this, it's really a bit like whenever Sherlock Holmes arrives at the crime scene. Maybe some of you have seen the Sherlock Holmes TV on the BBC. And when it comes, he arrives at the crime scene and the camera zooms in. It's like what he's looking at. It zooms in to all the different points and it picks out all the little details, the things that on their own don't mean anything. But of course, he's able to zoom into them, see them and bring them all together and understand what has happened. And that's what observation's all about. It's reading through the Bible passage and picking out all the facts and all the details. Observation, it's a little bit like the foundation of a house, okay? The foundation comes at the very bottom. It sits at the bottom and everything else above the house rests on it, okay? My drawing of a house foundation, okay? So, a bit basic, but it'll do the job. So everything rests on top of the foundation. And if you don't have a good foundation, then whatever you put on it isn't going to be good. Maybe if you were going to build a house and you've never seen a house being built before, you might think, well, I'll just start with the walls because they're the first thing you see. They're the bit that's above ground. But it's not going to really end well. Unless you get your foundations right, everything that you put above it will be a bit of a disaster. And it's like that with the observation step. Sometimes it's tempting just to read a passage and then try and understand what that passage means for you. But if you want to properly understand the Bible, you have to be patient. You have to take the time to first of all look through the passage, pick out all the details in it and all the factual things in the passage. Now, observation, like the foundation, it's critical. But if you stopped building your house there, then it wouldn't really be very much of a house. In fact, it wouldn't really be fair to call it a house at all. The next step that we have to go on top of observation is interpretation. Let's see. Interpretation. So, interpretation. Interpretation, yes. It's a very long word. I've had a bad thing about spelling that one. It's so many A's and T's and E's. But right, interpretation. It's really understanding what does the passage mean. This is where you try and understand the meaning of the passage and what it teaches you. So an example of this is you've probably read in the book of Acts about the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was sitting in his chariot as he was going along the road and he was reading his Bible. And he was reading from a verse in the book of Isaiah. And you can look it up. Most of you got your Bibles here. So you look up Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. So he was reading just the same verse that we're going to read now. Now, it wouldn't be divided up into verses, but he was reading from his Bible the same verse. And he was trying to, he would have read through the passage before it. He would have understood some of the details. He understood at one level what the verse was talking about. But he came to this verse, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. This is what it says. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And as this man read the verse, He understood in some sense it was talking about a sheep going to a slaughter, but he didn't really know what it meant. He didn't know what the point of the verse was. And he needed a little help to understand it. And of course, God brings Philip to where the man is, and Philip comes and he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? And the answer, no, he didn't understand what he was reading. The Ethiopian was struggling with the interpretation of the passage. And Philip was able to help him. He was able to show him that this verse was all about the Lord Jesus and about Jesus' death on the cross. So interpretation, it is all about the meaning of the passage. And we could say it corresponds very roughly to the walls and the structure of the house. So every house has walls and has a window as well. So the walls, they rest on the foundation, and generally speaking, the stronger the foundation you have, the higher you can build the walls. And it's the same with the Bible. The more time you spend observing things in the passage, the more you'll understand the meaning of it. The final step that we have and that we talked about was that of application. So we have observation, interpretation, and application. And this is where you apply the meaning of that passage to yourself. What does it mean for me, and how will it change me? What will I go out and do in light of what I've read and what I've learnt? And it's a bit like the roof of a house. House isn't too much use unless you've got a roof on top. And application comes in at the end. But it is an essential part of the building. Sometimes people, they want to stop here. They want to stop an interpretation. They're happy to study what the Bible says. They're happy to understand what it means. But then they don't allow it to change their lives. And sometimes what it says in the Bible can be very challenging. Maybe you read that we are to love your enemies. That's easy to read it. It's easy to understand what it means. But applying it to your own life can be very difficult. And sometimes people think it'll be a lot easier, I'll just look at the Bible the way I might study a book in school. I'll read it, I'll understand what it means, but it doesn't actually change my life at all. But the Bible's very different to that. It's not like a school textbook. It has to be applied to our lives. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time when we read it. And the book of James explains this, and you can look this up as well, in James chapter 1 and verse 22. So James, right near the end of the Bible, after Hebrews. James chapter 2, and we'll start at verse James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1:22, and it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So that verse is telling us that if you just hear God's word, but you don't then put it into practice, and you're like someone who sees themselves in a mirror, but then turns away and forgets what they look like. We only know God's blessing if we not only hear God's word, but we also do it. We have to obey it and allow it to change our lives. And that's why the application step is so important. So now we've got our house completed, and I'm going to pass over to Johnny, who's going to show us one way that we can work through these steps in practice in an example Bible passage.
So, I was glad to see so many Bibles. That's brilliant. So can you turn to John chapter 9? Because we are going to go through all of John chapter 9 using this same method. And honestly, that seems scary when you talk about it, but hopefully whenever you see how some of these steps can actually be done in reality, it just opens up the whole door. Anybody, as David said, anybody can do this. So John chapter 9. So we'll just start reading from the start. We'll not go all the way through it, but John chapter 9. So has everybody got it? Good stuff. Okay. So I'll start reading verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, the rest of the passage goes on to talk about how that people wondered, was this, whenever they saw him, was this even the same man? Whenever then the people at the synagogue heard, they were pretty confused about it, and they wondered, was this the same man? Was this actually a blind man that had suddenly been able to see? Who had done this? Whenever they found out who had done it, they went, is this of God? Is it not of God? Who is this person? And they ended up actually throwing the man out of the synagogue. And then the Lord Jesus comes along again and speaks to the man. So we're going to go through this passage in the way that David described and see if we can all together, and I will need your help, I'm telling you that now, I will want contribution. So it'll not be that hard, don't worry. So we're going to go through this. So if you can remember from literally what you just saw, what do we have to start with? What do we start with? Observation, yes. Oh boy, you're so now. Right, observation. Okay, observation, and that's one. Now, just to remind you all, I'm going to draw a little brick. It's a brick. It's a foundation. It's right at this. So you've got to start with observation. That's really important. And remember what David was saying. Let's treat this like a crime scene. Okay? Crime scene, somebody goes in, they don't come in going, right, I know what this is all about, I know what's probably happened. They walk through the door, they, without even looking at anything, they go, well, I know who did it, for a start. I know how they did it, I know when they did it. Nobody investigates a crime like that. Okay? They have to go in with no preconceived ideas, and they have to go in thinking, right, what do I need to get first? What's the small word that describes what they need to get? They need to go in and come out with a list of, begins with F, facts. They've got to come out with a list of facts. They've got to look at what actually has happened and what they actually see. Not work anything out, but they've got to get a list of facts. Okay? So what they're looking for, things like, who was involved? Put question marks in these. Who was involved? What actually happened? I mean, looking around, can they understand what happened? When did it happen? So are there any clues to tell them when it happened? You know, like you see sometimes in the crime thrillers where there's like a broken watch or something, so they know when the thing happened. Where did it happen? So is there anything to indicate that maybe there was something about the location that's significant? And why? What was it that actually led to the events? What was it that triggered this? Was there a whole thing that led up to it? Was there something of significance in why this thing actually happened? See, whenever we're looking at the Bible, we can ask those same questions. So we, as Bible investigators, need to go through a passage and ask these questions. Now, you may be thinking again, okay, fair enough, but how do you even do that? So, John chapter 9, our passage is John chapter 9. So, we've divided it up, whenever David and I were chatting about this, we've divided observation up into three different parts. So if you imagine three different bricks that make up your foundation, it's a pretty small house, by the way. Three different bricks that make up your foundation. First brick, we're calling this 1A. This is your content. Need a wee brick here just to remind you. We're still in the foundations, don't forget. Don't get too excited. Still in the foundations, okay? Content. We need to go through this chapter. And anybody can do this, and you'll see how simple it is. Go through the chapter and write down what we see. That's it. Through the chapter and write down what you see. For example, verse 1. Jesus passed by. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Okay? So I'll write down what I see. Jesus saw a man born blind. And I'll write down verse 1 because it's important whenever I'm writing these down that I make sure if I look back at this that I know where in the Bible it came from. That I'm not making stuff up and writing down just whatever. It's actually stuff out of the Bible. Okay, so Jesus saw a man born blind, verse 1. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Okay? So remember, I'm not doing anything too clever here. Writing down, disciples asked if blindness, because of sin. Verse 2. Okay? So you see what I'm doing here all the way down? I'm not going to go all the way to 41. Don't worry. So 3, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Then I think, if you look at verse 3, it talks about works. If you look at verse 4, it talks about works. So let's bundle those together, verse 3 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Okay, so we've got 3 and 4 together. We're saying Jesus said no, because that's pretty significant. Jesus said no. To show the works of God, because that word manifest means to show. So to show the works of God. And then he says, I must work. So that's verse 3, verse 4. Now whenever we're reading that and the Lord Jesus says, I must work, you're sort of thinking, that feels like that might be an important thing that the Lord Jesus has just said. So this work thing, so the works of God, so I'm going to underline that. Because it's the sort of thing that might be important. So just going to underline it, and maybe we'll come back to it later. Then the Lord Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now if you're reading that, and you've just heard about a blind person, and you know that blind person is about to be healed, because you've read down through a little bit, that's important. I am the light of the world. Now, putting these things in your own words helps. Because it sort of helps you to sort of work out what it means and what understand what the passage is about. See, whenever you read something like, I am the light of the world, you don't want to be putting that in your own words. That feels like an important thing. So if I write down, I am the light of the world, words a wee bit iffy there. Okay, that's verse 5. Now, I'm going to underline that all the way. Because that feels like it's very important. Now, I'm not thinking too much about it. I'm not trying to work it out. I'm not trying to go in with any preconceived ideas. But that just feels like it's important. So I'm going to underline it. Now, verse 6. Verse 6, I want you to write the next one. Okay? I'm going to read the verse. I want everybody, you've all got your Bibles, and that's brilliant. I want you to read verse 6. I want you to just think about it briefly. Don't look too much into it. Just think about what it's actually saying. I'm going to read it here, and then I want somebody, anybody, it doesn't matter, you can just shout out as well. You don't have to put your hand up. When he had thus spoken, he spat in the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, first thing I'll say is, look at how short these little snippets are. Remember, we're just summarizing what it says. We're just writing down what we see and summarizing it and writing it down in our own words. So verse 6, somebody tell me what they would write down. And there aren't right and wrong answers, by the way. So what would you write down? How would you like summarize that verse 6? Go ahead. I need people to. Ross. Okay, mud and saliva. And we've got clay and spittle, but it's the same thing. Yep, okay. So, and actually the thing, for me, the thing that he actually makes it with probably isn't necessarily that thing. The fact that he makes it and then puts it on the man's eyes. So Jesus makes clay and puts on the man's eyes. And there we go, we've summarized that verse, verse 6. So we've gone through the first 6 verses. Now you see, first 6 verses in my Bible are like that, with all that writing. And now we've summarized these in our own words in a way that we can understand them. That's important. So rather than go down through all 41 now, here's what I prepared earlier. So, all 41 verses. Now, look at this. And look in your own Bible. Look how much writing there is in your own Bible with 41 verses. Now, that can seem very, very scary whenever you first sit. And you think to yourself, I'm going to look at this chapter, and I'm going to try and understand it. Right? That can seem extremely scary. whenever you have to do that. But this doesn't seem quite so scary, especially whenever it's all in your own words that you can understand. And you see how easy it is to get to this list. It's your own words, it's you that's got to that point with the understanding that God has given you in being able to look at the facts. So it's quite simple. So, we've got our list. Now that was the first, what was the first step called? Anyone know? 1A. What was that called? Content. Brilliant. These are taking notes, that's good, I like that. This is called divisions. And we're still on foundation, don't forget. This is called divisions because this is still quite a big list. Still quite a lot of things. If you're going to come away having fully understood everything in this passage, that's a lot of stuff to get into. Right? A helpful way to understand this and a helpful way to get really into the passage and to be able to make sure you've got a feel for what's in it is to start dividing this stuff up. So that's what we're going to do. Now if we read down through some of this, Jesus saw a man who was born blind. The disciples asked if the blindness was because of sin. Jesus said, no. He said, I'm the light of the world. He put the clay on the man's eyes. The man washed in the pool and was healed. We'll then read that the neighbors weren't sure if it was the same man, but the man tells them the story and says, no, I am who it is. Then the man is brought to the Pharisees. Now it feels like that's a bit of a change of tone there whenever you read it. Things are starting to change. This is now a new scene in the play, if you like, where the man is taken to the Pharisees. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to block this off here. That's division one. Okay? So the man's taken to the Pharisees. The Pharisees couldn't agree if Jesus was from God or not. The Jews didn't believe that this man was born blind, so they brought his parents in. The parents were scared to speak of Christ. It says that. They didn't speak of Christ because they were scared. The Jewish leaders, so possibly the same Pharisees again, they called the man again. They asked him again. The Jews rejected what he said. The man insisted that what he said was true. And the Jews threw him out of the synagogue. Now that all seems like one part that has to stay together. We need to understand it all together. So there's another section. Then the Lord Jesus comes along again. Lord Jesus talks to the man. The Lord Jesus says, do you believe in me? And the man says, yes, I believe. And he worships him. And the Lord Jesus then speaks to him and then to the Pharisees about blindness and about sin. Another section. So we've divided this now into three sections. Now then what you do is just try and get a wee quick understanding of what's happened here. So let's see. Jesus heals a blind man. And the neighbours, because we have to mention the neighbours because they're in here. The neighbours wondered. The neighbours wondered. They couldn't get their heads around this. They wondered what was going on. So that's verse 1 to verse 12. Now why do you think it's important that we write that down? Verse 1 to verse 12. Some of you almost said something. Yes? Well, go on, lads. Go on ahead. Yeah, we'll have to know. Because otherwise then we'll look back at this and think, well, I just made a few things up. I've no idea if that's true. And we'll have to do it all over again. Whereas if you write down, no, I got that from these verses. That makes sense. Then this one here, man questioned by Pharisees. And then what happened to him after he was questioned by the Pharisees? What happened to him? Threw out of the synagogue. And thrown out. That's verse 13 to 34. And here, the man believes on Jesus. And there's no way, if anyone's taking notes, you'll never read my writing, but that's okay. And I don't even know what I wrote there. And worships him. And that is verse 35 to 41. Okay. Right. So. Divisions. We've divided up the passage now. We have three divisions. We have Jesus heals the blind man and the neighbours wondered about it. The man was questioned by the Pharisees and thrown out. And the man believes on the Lord Jesus and worships him. And thankfully, I've written it out a little bit better over here. Okay. So, those are the three divisions. Now, your divisions could look totally different from mine. This is the beauty of it. You could divide that passage up how you like. Now, ideally, you wouldn't be dividing it up into, you know, more than three or four or five or something like that. Now, it obviously depends how long your passage is. We have 41 verses. That's quite long. But you see there, we can quite easily break it into three sections. So you start to understand it a bit more. You start to understand the flow of the story and what's happening. Okay? Now, there's one more part to observation, and you'll be glad to hear observation is the longest part. 1C. 1C is the summary. Now, we've already summarized this, still part of the foundation. We've already summarized this. This is now a lot shorter than 41 verses. Now, we're missing out a lot of bits, but do you see how you're starting to actually get a proper understanding of what the passage says and what it's about? So that then whenever you come to study it and actually think about it and think what it means, then you've got these guidelines to help you through. So now we're going to summarize it. Now, summary, ideally a summary is like a single sentence like these to summarize the whole thing. Now I'll tell you why that's useful in a wee minute. But I would say if you take this, and you might think, well, that's quite hard, how do we summarize the whole thing? Take what you've already done. So take a look at this and think to yourself, right, so I'm going to summarize this. I'm going to go through this and I'm going to think of the things that are absolutely, completely, totally, fundamentally important to the whole passage. That just wouldn't be the same without them. So, we'll need the Lord Jesus. He heals somebody. It's a man who was blind. He heals a blind man. Okay, so the neighbours wondered about it. That's a pretty small part of the passage. It's not significant to the whole thing necessarily, but obviously important. Pharisees questioned the man. Again, that sort of, there's a bit of to and fro there, but again, it doesn't seem important for the whole thing. He threw him out of the synagogue. Maybe. It's maybe something that we need to include in our summary so that when we look back at it later, we can understand it. But this here feels important. So there's the man. So we've got the man again. Same guy. He believes in the Lord. So now, you see there, that's not too hard to go through and pick out little bits. Can somebody please take what's been done or rearrange it a bit and add some other things in that you want and give me a sentence that summarizes all of John chapter 9? And it could be anybody. How would you summarize John chapter 9? Some of the girls, she's been writing lots of stuff. How would you summarize? What would you turn that into a sentence? Anybody? I've highlighted the words for you near enough. You can either just take that or you can reword it yourself. Anybody? Go on. Okay, Bethany. I want you to go. Hang on. Jesus heals, yes. Blind man. Okay. Oh, wow. Beautiful. Right. Look it up. See, if you're sitting in church sometime, if you're sitting in church and somebody says we're going to turn now to John chapter 9, if you've done this, if you sat yourself and studied this, you think John chapter 9. John chapter 9, John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is the passage where Jesus heals the blind man and the man believes on him, believes in the Lord. You'll think that, you'll remember that, that'll come back to your mind. Or, if somebody's maybe studying the passage of the blind man from the book of Luke, and you'll think to yourself, I remember reading about another blind man somewhere. You'll think, where was that? Jesus healed a blind man who then believed in him. John chapter 9. You can flick across to John chapter 9 and you can start to have a look to see if it's the same story, if it's a different story, if there's anything different you can learn from it. And that is so important for starting to understand how the Bible all fits together. And you can do that yourselves. Now, quickly move on. Does anybody remember the second part to David's house? Interpretation. Brilliant. See why notes are handy. Two. Interpretation. Right, interpretation. Okay, so David talked about this as the walls, as the structure, and what it effectively allows us to do. Effectively, it allows us to look through the window. Because you're building this house. The this house is being built up, and it's all outside stuff. It's all bricks. It's all facts. You've built up the structure. You understand the facts. Now you want to look inside it. Now you want to see through the facts. You want to see past the facts. And you want to ask some questions. You want to ask the question, what does this mean? You want to be thinking about John chapter 9, and you think, why did God even want John chapter 9 to be in the Bible? Why did God want me to read John chapter 9? What am I supposed to learn from John chapter 9? What is God trying to teach me? And that's the question. What is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to teach me about himself? What is God trying to teach me about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? What is God trying to teach me about me? What's he trying to teach me about myself? What's he trying to teach me about the world? About the dangers of the world, about the challenges of the world, about how it views God? And what's he trying to teach me about the devil? What is God trying to teach me about him, about his purity and his holiness, about his son's death? What is God trying to teach me? And that's something that we're going to take a look at. Now, to do that, I would suggest you go back to here and look down your list. So remember, if you're following this, and there's lots of ways you can study the Bible. If you're doing it like this, you can go down through this list that you've written and have a look at the stuff that you've underlined. Have a look at the stuff that you thought was interesting, that might come up, that might be useful. Jesus saw a blind man. And he talks about blindness at the bottom here, and it connects blindness to sin. So Jesus exposes the sin and blindness of the Pharisees at the bottom. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Down here it says that he came to judge and to bring sight. So he talks about light to a blind man. Or in relation to a blind man. He heals the blind man. The Pharisees, they couldn't agree if Jesus was from God. They couldn't agree who he was, where this power had come from. And they were so upset by the whole thing, they ended up throwing the man out of the synagogue. He was cast out of the synagogue. The parents, they were so scared that they couldn't speak about Christ. But when the man spoke, he spoke with truth. And whenever the Lord Jesus came and said to him, do you believe? The man said, I believe. And he worshipped God. Now, and this is entirely on you guys. Tell me what God is trying to say. Now, you can throw out the most simple thing. Like, for example, Jesus saw a man who was blind and he healed him. What does that tell us about God? What does it tell us about Jesus Christ? He's powerful, yes. He also cares as well. It's a simple thing. Don't be scared of simple things. I throw out some other stuff. What does any of this tell us? He can heal, absolutely. What about the blindness and the sin? Is that important? Does that mean anything? It can be anybody. Is there any significance to the fact that he was blind? Does that matter? Darkness. What does darkness tell us about? Sin. Yeah, makes sense. And you can see there the connection to the sin. Anything else? What about the fact that the parents didn't speak of Christ because they were scared? Does that tell you anything? Could it tell you anything? Well, it tells me that I'm not the only one that gets scared speaking of Christ. That's what it tells me. People couldn't agree. What about the Pharisees casting them out, throwing them out of the synagogue because he spoke truth? Does that make you think of anything? There's a lot of people in different parts of the world. We heard from Issachar at the start of the year, who's being persecuted for what he believes and thrown out of places for what he believes. So look, there's lots of different things you could pull out of that. This is looking into the passage and trying to understand. And it's up to you what you see, but you make sure that what you see is ties in with the Bible. So you're not saying some wacky thing that doesn't make sense with the Bible. Think about what you know from the Bible It's a couple of ideas. Just spiritual sight is critical. It's important. And only Jesus can give it. We are born spiritually blind, but have received sight through faith in Christ. Jesus shines light on his truth and calls us to believe. That's just some ideas of what you could say is the interpretation of the passage. Now, I need to rush on really quickly. You can get these notes afterwards. Last thing. Very, very last thing. Okay? Does anybody remember what the third thing was? Okay. What was the word? Application. Okay. I don't know why I've suddenly gone red with my titles. Anyway, that's okay. Right, application. What did David say is application? What did he say application actually is? How you apply it to yourself. Does this inspire you to do anything? The stuff that you've learnt. The stuff that you've learnt through the Bible. Through looking at that passage. All of this stuff here. Does this inspire us to do anything? Thinking that Jesus is the light of the world. Thinking that Jesus has power. Thinking that Jesus cares about people. Thinking that sometimes we get scared when we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking that the man was so faithful to the truth that it ended up meaning he was thrown out of the synagogue, which he cared about. Does that inspire us to do anything? Does that actually make us want to do anything? So again, please, last one. I'm asking you guys to think of ways that John chapter 9 would inspire us to action. Now, if you want to think about it in terms of somebody else, that's fine, but it should be personal. It does. What should the fact that the man was cast out of the synagogue for speaking the truth, what should that inspire us to do? Speak the truth, yeah. That's hard. I'm not saying these things are easy, but it should inspire us to speak the truth. Now, with application, quite often a good way is to actually ask questions. So something like with what David was saying, does this inspire me to speak truth? Because if you just go to yourself and go, yeah, I should speak the truth, that makes sense. But if you actually ask us, does this actually make me speak the truth? It becomes an awful lot more personal. Anything else? What does the fact that the Lord Jesus can take away sin, that he can take away blindness, what should that inspire us to do? Trust him, yeah? Okay. So do I trust Christ? Another question for you. So you're asking questions. Right, a couple more quickly, just before we finish. What should it make us want to do? Any part of it. Any of these things in this other... here. Any of these, what should they inspire us to do? Well, see there the bit about... Oh, sorry. Help others, yes. Good one. Do I care for others? And also whenever it's talking about spiritual sight, you know, most of you are Christians, I do believe that, I know that. But we should ask the question, do I have spiritual sight? It's a question we should ask ourselves. And thank God when the answer is yes. Thank God for that. Do I value the salvation? Would I be thrown out of, not the synagogue, but would I be prepared to be thrown out of somewhere for the spiritual sight that I have? It's a good question to ask. Right, that's us done. Quick recap. So, observation, interpretation, application. What were the three parts of observation? Can anybody remember the three bricks? Content, yes. Content. Next one. Divisions. So content taken sort of somewhere between like 10 and 20 different like lists of things. Division, maybe breaking it up to another three or five. Then summary, yes. Where you're getting one single sentence that sums up everything. Interpretation, you're looking through the windows, remember that? You're looking through the windows trying to actually understand, get past the facts, understand what the passage is about. So, what is God telling me about God? What is God telling me about... anything? Me? What is God telling me about the world? And what is God telling me about the devil? And there's a lot of other things that we know of the Bible that God is telling... what is God telling me about heaven? What is God telling me about hell? Different things, spiritual things that God is telling us about. And remember, your house is not complete. You could have the most beautiful house, and if you don't put a roof on it, you could have your big 50-inch TV on the wall. If you don't put a roof on that house, it's going to get destroyed. We need the roof in the house. We need to apply it to our lives, or else the study of the Bible is pointless and means nothing. Right. We have for you, see, little bookmarks to keep in your Bible. Do try, now this is one way, literally only one way that we're suggesting that you can study your Bible and get the most out of it. But it is a way, and it does work, and it's not that hard. So, we'll give you each one of these. Sorry we've gone on a wee bit too long. I mostly, sorry. But take one of these with you, we'll give them out, and stick it in your Bible and do take a look at it, okay? And we would encourage you to study your Bibles and get the most out of it.